Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, do remember our contact information on the web. It's equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Carl, listening in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just wanted to ask you, I grew up as a Catholic. Really wasn't practicing it. I'm 54 years old, and got married and stuff, and now I'm Methodist, you know. And we go to a good church. I mean, I'm very involved in the church, and I just wanted to know your opinion of like the Methodist church. I know there's a lot of things going on, you know, with a lot of gay marriage, you know, and stuff like that that's kind of seeping in. And I guess I'd like your opinion on that. If you could do it, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that you just alluded to one of the main issues, and that is Methodist groups are found across the theological spectrum from conservative evangelicalism to extreme liberalism. And what I mean by that is the idea that modern society can't embrace concepts that have been repudiated in age of scientific enlightenment. So they get rid of the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the infallibility of Scripture, etc. So you have very, very liberal Methodists, and you have within the spectrum conservative Methodists as well. Of course, this is a denomination which has its roots in the teachings of John and Charles Wesley. Pretty much everybody's familiar with them, particularly with their songwriting prowess. And they're known as Methodists. I mean, the reason they got that moniker is because of their insistence on exacting discipline in scholastic as well as spiritual matters. So started good. I would say that it is pretty much off the rails in a broad sense today. It is historically related within Protestantism again, and the United Methodist Church is the largest Methodist denomination today. Official position is that the church does not condone the practice of homosexuality, considers this practice incompatible with Christian teaching, but the fact that the denomination as a whole teaches that does not mean that the practice within Methodist parishes is consistent with the official view, and I would say that they're in great, great danger of a whipsaw on that particular issue. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cindy next. She's listening in Leavenworth, Washington. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you quite a bit, and I appreciate your broadcast.
Thank you.
My question is that we're attending a small non-denominational church that has recently changed its mission statement to the fact that it is a, quote, universal church. And when I look at that on the internet, it's a little bit murky. Some of it sounds in line, and then some of it sounds like it could go out in many directions. So I wanted to know if you're familiar with this and what your opinion is.
Sure. Well, it really does matter what the context is, because if you say you are part of the church universal, or that you were a local expression of the church universal, you're saying something which is absolutely true. The church universal is a church which is made up of people from every language and people and nation throughout all time. And we are local expressions of that church universal. However, if by universal, they mean universalism. The ism is the dangerous portion. That belief is that ultimately everybody's going to be saved. And the argument is that an all-loving, all-powerful God would not allow any to go to hell, which flatly contradicts Scripture at many different points, not the least of which is that now heaven wouldn't really be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. But again, this kind of ism denies biblical teaching concerning hell as the abode of those who want to do it their own way. And although God indeed wills for all to be saved, the Bible recognizes that some will receive Christ and others will not. In other words, some will want to be participants in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and others simply will not. Universalism, therefore, removes all moral responsibility. If everyone goes to heaven, sin has no eternal consequence, and witnessing becomes irrelevant, and you have to wonder why Christ would have commanded Christians to share the gospel when everyone is already destined for heaven. It is a very serious error as an ism, universalism. But if you're talking about the church universal, that is what we believe. We believe that there is a church universal, that there are believers in every epoch of time, and that the full complement of God's people will be gathered together as Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, carries that body, as it were, over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Don. He's listening in Upland, California, on the web. Hi.
Hello, Hank. I'm so glad I got through to you. I have really an eschatology question for you. It's kind of a three-part. First of all, the last 4 months, you have changed my life. I've been through a lot in the last couple of years, separated from my wife, and my daughter's living with me. I have a new baby. I mean, just so much has happened. And, you know, I prayed that God would bring me wisdom in the Word. And I went into a Christian store, and I was searching for an answer to a particular question. I asked my pastor regarding Revelations. We had a Bible study. I had mentioned something about, hey, you look at this as being literal, not 24, but in this particular case, it was regarding the millennial. And then I told him that I read things differently, and when I explained it, he told me it was dangerous, that was amillennialism, this and that, and asked me to go research it. So I had no clue about, you know, I knew about the pre-tribulation because I grew up in the 80s, you know, hearing that. But, you know, it led me to the Armageddon Code, which you were interviewed in that by a journalist named Billy Hollowell. And I had no clue. It was over five different type of theories, pre-tribulation, rapture, post-tribulation, the middle range and middle tribulation rapture, you name it. But it also led me to your Apocalypse Code book. And I tell you, that did wonders for me because things started to fall in line, and that was a prayer answered for me. From that book, I've read Your Afterlife. I have The Counterfeit Revival, The Christianity in Crisis, and I shared it with my 26-year-old kids. As a matter of fact, we had a Bible study, and I went through Matthew 24 with them on eschatology to answer those three questions that was really confusing to me in the beginning. But my question is, number one, Revelation 12, 7 and 9, it talks about Satan's fall. I came across a partial preterist as I was doing my research, and he said in his book, this guy is Victorious Eschatology. I'm not sure if you know this guy, Eberle, I believe it is, and Trench. But he said that after Christ's ascension into heaven, after he died on the cross, Satan actually fell. And, of course, the dispensationalist viewpoint is that this happened thousands of years ago, and maybe even millions. If that's the case, my question is, if he did fall in the first century, what's the deal with Garden of Eden.
Well, let me answer that quickly because we're almost out of time before I'm up against the station break, and simply let you know that the theological deduction on the basis of a sound reading of Scripture is that Satan fell before Adam and Eve, because Satan was the agent of the temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So I think when you read the book of Revelation, you see that in places like Revelation chapter 12. Revelation, by the way, is essentially two parts: the victory of Christ over the beast and the woman who rides the beast, and in part two, you have the victory of the bride of Christ over the beast and the woman who rides the beast. So Revelation is essentially a recapitulation in two parts. And a lot of the major themes and symbols are repeated or refashioned from part one to part two. And I think that a lot of the questions that you're asking can be answered by reading and rereading the Apocalypse Code. I am so sorry that I can't give you more information than that. Simply up against a heartbreak. We'll be right back.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In part two, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Simone, listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Simone.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. There's a video going out on Facebook that's been passed along, and it's by he says he's an ex-pastor that has now tested and tried the Bible and found it to not be true. And he's throwing references to us having being enslaved by the Bible with the slave mentality, and that God would never allow us to be slaves. And he said, if you go into different countries, the Jesus of those countries, if it's China, he's Chinese, and that's impossible. And pretty much telling everybody to wake up that, you know, that Bible was put out there by man to more enslave us than to really let us know what the real truth is. And I think it's a dangerous thing to do. I've trusted the Bible, and I've prayed, and I know my prayers have been manifested, maybe not right away, but it has come to fruition. So to put that out there in the past that belongs to so many people is a very dangerous thing. And he said he's been a pastor for a very long time, very, very long time, had a church, had a following, and everybody's mad at him. But he was tired of us living the lie. So I didn't know how to respond to that, if I should, in fact, respond to it, because I know there's so many other things out there, but for some reason, that one is the one that got to me the most.
Well, you should respond. We ought to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect, and particularly on an issue like this, because we're not enslaved by the Christian worldview. We're liberated by the Christian worldview, because the Christian worldview is about life in the Trinity. When we become believers, we are not only saved by the death of Christ, but we live according to his life. This is the great exchange, talking about the early church fathers. This is the great exchange that the early church fathers talked about. The fact that we are by grace what God is by nature, which is to say we can be partakers of the divine nature by living the engrafted life and by partaking of the graces that God gives to us. And then we find complete liberation because we have been created for relationship with God. So as a Christian, you respond to this very simply. That's very, very obvious to those who look around themselves with an open mind, that the universe is not a happenstance. It didn't just happen by chance. The heavens declare the glory of God. But this God is not just impersonal. This God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He emptied himself. It's called kenosis, so that we could be filled with him. That's called theosis. And that's what we were designed to be, partakers of the divine nature, those who are not slaves anymore, but sons and daughters, children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just for time, as significant as that is, but for all of eternity. So this is not about enslavement. This is about liberation. It's about redemption. It's about freedom in Christ. So here you have a pastor that claims to know what he's talking about, and he's missed the main and the plain thing of Scripture.
Yes, because he makes reference to the flood, how if God was a God of love, he would have never allowed us to perish in the flood the first time, and that, you know, the mentality that people have today is, like, we don't know who wrote that book, pretty much to say. And anybody could have wrote it, and it's been translated so many times that we'll just believe whatever is put before us, and that there was no real Christian church. It was a Jesus Christ, but not a Christian church. Jesus Christ didn't say there was a Christian church. And, you know, it just goes on, and it says to go onto this other website to find out more about it, which I haven't, because I thought that was foolishness, but, you know, I think it's dangerous that it's out there that way.
Well, it is, and what's going on here is a misapprehension of the biblical text. Again, a failure to be able to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And this guy has many, many brothers and sisters in the same vein as he is. I mean, Bart Ehrman, for example, is a person who's made a cottage industry out of demeaning the Word of God. But he doesn't do that by thinking critically or carefully, but he does so by simply not understanding how to read literature in general and the Bible specifically. For example, he'll tell you that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet. And he does so because he doesn't know how to read the figures of speech in Scripture. So if the Bible uses apocalyptic language, he, as a fundamentalist from the left, wants to read it in a wooden, literalistic sense and completely misses the meaning, and then with great bravado talks about what he does not understand. So it's sad on the one hand, but I think even sadder that Christians are not equipped to deal with critics of the faith like a Bart Ehrman or people who are constantly saying that the Bible is just a copy of a copy of a copy with fresh airs being injected in each stage of the process. This is good rhetoric, but it is not good reason. And unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that we're getting from these people. And we live in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And as a result of this, all too many people fall for the skin of the truth stuff for the great big lie. In fact, you know, the wisdom of God is evident through the way he protected the biblical text from the one thing centuries and millennia later we could never detect. And that is changes of doctrine or theology by anyone who had ecclesiastical power at a particular juncture in church history. Instead of that, what we see is that the New Testament was written at various times. It was copied. And then there was never a time that anyone could gather the copies and make extensive changes. By the time anyone had great ecclesiastical power, the copies were buried in the sands of time, and they were out of reach of any alteration. So we have autographs, and within the autographs are forever immortalized the words of God. Instead of having less than the autographs, we have far more. We have a treasure trove of manuscripts, and through those, we can get back to the autograph. And it's fantastic. It's just fantastic when you recognize the way God has preserved his words. Now, people will say, well, all the manuscripts have errors. Yeah, they do. They're not significant errors, and they're not the same errors. So by comparing manuscript with manuscript, the issues of style or spelling, these kinds of issues are quickly ferreted out. So these people are making a mountain out of a molehill, either doing it because they don't know what they're talking about or doing it because they do know what they're talking about and they want to strip the faith of people who are gullible.
I see. Well, I appreciate that, Hank. I'm definitely going to respond. I don't like to argue and go back and forth because, you know, I'm not the one that
Well, this is not about arguing, though. Here's the deal. I mean, I was on a plane, and I was looking forward to a nice, nice long sleep. I was coming across the country, and the person next to me started a conversation, and that conversation was along the lines that we're talking about right now. This person was genuinely interested, and God put me next to that person, and I was able to answer his objections and give him a whole different perspective. And I can't say that I converted that person, but I do know that I did what I was equipped to do. I was ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within me, with gentleness and with respect. Turned out to be almost a five-hour conversation, four-and-a-half-hour conversation, and extremely edifying. But I didn't feel like I had to convert the person. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But I did have to be ready and able and willing to give an answer to the objections he saw to the faith once for all, delivered to the saints. My apologies to the calls that I cannot take because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let me mention just a couple of things that are very, very important, and I haven't been mentioning them much as we have come into the new year. The first of those things is CRI's support team. Our work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners like you. There is work that we are doing all over the world, and we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially in that work. Support team members, quite frankly, undergird and strengthen every one of our 24/7 outreaches, equipping fellow believers at home. And as I just mentioned, around the globe, we need to add new support team members this month. And to join the CRI support team to help change our world, all you need to do is go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Talk to one of our resource consultants. Again, 888-7000. Numerically, it's 888-7000-274. Also want to mention quickly, if you haven't subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, commend the new edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's absolutely stellar. If you're not subscribing, take an opportunity to do that. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion, as I just mentioned, on the web at equip.org. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.